College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Matt Gaetz, he was the AG nomination. Then, of course, there's all the stuff that's out there baggage-wise, and ultimately, he steps aside, and in comes Pam Bondi from Florida. Your thoughts on everything that transpired yesterday and for, well, really the course of this entire week?
I think it's unfortunate that Gaetz had to withdraw, but from what I know about the situation, nothing illegal, but stuff that if it did come out and could be proven would be worthy of a conviction in the court of public opinion, and you just can't have that. It would undermine everything that the DOJ needs to do, and I think Gaetz kind of understood that, and he said he didn't want to be a distraction. So we'll see what the future holds for him. I don't think he's going to the Senate. I don't think he's going to come back to Congress. Some folks said, you know, he resigned from the 118th, but maybe he can come back for the 119th. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm not sure what he's got his eyes on. He's a talented guy. I wish it would have worked out for him as AG. It looked like we were four votes or so short. The usual suspects, Collins, Murkowski, McConnell, and the new senator, John Curtis out of Utah, which is Romney's replacement.
Uh-huh.
And take it from me as a Jet fan, anything that comes out of Utah these days, cough, Zach Wilson, is not a good thing. So, he likes the Cougars, right?
Yeah.
He has a hard time. But you look at the Gaetz situation, it's a bummer that he's not going to be our AG. But then he named Bondi, and I don't know enough about her. I had to say that yesterday. I put that on X yesterday, and I saw a lot of people. Some folks have a couple of, you know, reasons to have reservations, just connected to lobbyist groups that know this deep state thing. But everyone's got that type of connection. What I do know, what I've gathered from people, is that she's been fiercely loyal to Trump since day one. She was on his impeachment defense team during the perfect phone call hoax. And she did a pretty good job as the Attorney General of Florida when she served there, too. So, and she knows how to get things done. And what I really loved to see was on MSNBC last night saying that she's competent. She knows how to do the job, and that's why we should fear her.
Amazing.
So I said, all right. I mean, I guess you were so used to incompetence with Harris over the last 100, however many days, that like a competent female real prosecutor stepping into a very powerful role like that would scare you. So if MSNBC is scared, you can consider me happy.
It's a good way to look at it. Sean Farris is joining us as he does each and every Friday. So let's go from Gaetz to Hegseth. Obviously, he's got some baggage as well. Do you think he survives? And is this going to be something where we're going to see a trickle-down effect of, all right, the left went after Gaetz, now the target is Hegseth? You know, there's stories out there about Linda McMahon. Where do we draw the line here, and what do you think is going to happen with this situation with Pete?
I think Hegseth survives because you got to think of all the people who got twisted up over the suckers and losers hoax, which was not real. Are they really going to go out there and they're going to try, but I don't know if a guy like McConnell or Murkowski or John Curtis, if they have the fortitude to keep dragging Pete Hegseth's name. This may be a Democrat-led thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Gaetz situation with McCarthy and Mike Lawler getting all twisted up about it yesterday, he thinks he's going to run for governor of New York. I will go back to New York for a week just to campaign against him after that pathetic display on X yesterday with the McCarthy with the laser eyes. Stupid. I mean, just why don't you just tell the world that, you know, that you're lacking where it counts, right? How about you just, you know, you don't have to even, that's it. Just, you don't even need an OnlyFans to show everybody. Just put that up. And we all know that you're a tiny rocket, man, right? We look at that little rocket, little guy. Mike Lawler sits when he pees, right? That's why we call Mitt Romney Sits Romney, because he does the same thing too. Sit Romney, that's what we call him. When he pees, he sits down. But you have all of these people, the Republicans were the ones who were the most upset about Gaetz, it seemed. In this situation with Hegseth, it looks like it's the Dems. So let them throw their tantrums. Let them check themselves into facilities like Rob Reiner, I think, which is just unbelievable. I could not believe that was real.
I know.
And I went on Blue Sky and I saw it. But let them check themselves in. Let them throw tantrums. I think Hegseth gets in. I think the rest of the cabinet, to be honest, will get in. Linda McMahon, love that pick for Department of Education. I don't know. Maybe the Undertaker will get a position soon. Who knows? Because, you know, Kane is going to be the next governor of Tennessee. Yes, hopefully. Sure. So yeah. We'll see.
I know. Bringing back my youth of being a wrestling fan in the late 90s in high school. It's unbelievable.
Listen,
they're all in politics.
You know, if Pete Hegseth doesn't make it for Secretary of Defense, is always Stone Cold. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine that?
Bringing Randy Orton. Yeah. You don't want an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's right.
Putin will be scared. Yeah. Randy Orton someplace.
Triple H. We'll get the whole we'll get the whole cast of characters together.
Oh, you guys.
Yeah. Put them all together.
You know, The Rock can come, too, if he wants to admit that he's a Republican. I know he tries to hide behind closed doors and say, I voted for both sides and I'm a centrist. Not sure I buy that, but okay. Speaking of the media, there's been nothing better than seeing all of these meltdowns. But I got to tell you, the one that really takes the cake for me this week is twice Sonny Hostin on The View had to come out of commercial break and read legal statements on behalf of ABC because they don't want to deal with any more repercussions. It's been a rough stretch for Disney. You had the Oprah Bakery Staten Island thing, and now you've got Sonny Hostin. And that look the first time that she gave when she had to read that statement, I mean, you could see the tension building up in the lip and in the jawline to the point where she was super, super mad. Your thoughts on her, because I actually argue, and I know you said Joy Reid is the most angry, miserable woman on TV. I think Sonny Hostin in the last 2 weeks has supplanted her atop the power rankings.
Oh, I don't know. It's close. It's close. I mean, we could do bracketology on who should be the one seed, right? I mean, against like March Madness, we could do bracketology. Like, who is it? Because we'll see what happens by then. Joy Reid, though, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I just have a special, like, disdain for that woman, right? This is why I still really do keep the eclipse glasses right here just in case she comes on the screen and put them on. You know, and she is just so bad. And really, like, from being truthful, right? Ugly, like, actually rough on the eyes. I look at her and I'm like, whoa. Yes. We need the actual glasses. You cannot see.
Right.
But, you know, they block the sun. And if they could block the sun, they block anything.
Can they block Sonny? That's the question.
Listen, that's the issue. I mean, we may have to put these on the Sonny glasses, right? But Hostin, really, over the last couple of weeks, and the View as a whole, have just been stepping in it left and right. The bakery, the Gates stuff. Oh, by the way, the other ones don't have, it's only allegations. And she had like a bigger, like her jaw was getting a bigger workout than, like, remember Bill Cowher when he was on the sideline with the Steelers?
Yeah, yeah,
he had the scowl. Like, it was worse than that.
Yes.
I was like, whoa. You know, so it has been amusing to watch all these meltdowns. Maddow and Reed and now obviously Rob Reiner needs a facility, you know, and there's so many of these people flipping out over Morning Joe and just and what Scott Jennings has been doing on CNN still. It has been fun. But I'm almost to the point now where I'm over the fun, right? I want to get to work.
Yeah, same here.
I want to get to, you know, you hear the rumors about Mike Rogers, and now Ashley St. Clair on X is saying maybe he's not the guy. That three people close to Trump said he's not getting FBI, which would be nice. But I want to get this cabinet together. We got 59 days or whatever it is, or 32 days, as Kamala Harris would say. And we got to get to work. You know, the fun has been good for the last 10 days, but we got to turn this thing around. I think it's coming. I think it is. And in the meantime, we'll just mock these people during the holidays. It'll be great.
You know, it has been fun. And I agree. It's, you know, we're ready to quote to steal a phrase from the left. We're going to turn the page and it's time to get down to business and fix all the things that are broken. But I will say it was fun, I think, that resulted in Trump's victory. Newsweek with an article this week saying Kamala Harris campaigned on joy, but now it's Republicans having all the fun. They talk about the NFL players dancing, John Jones in the UFC. Yeah. A contributor to News Nation said, quote, Trump appears to be cool. It's now crossed over beyond just politics into culture. And then I had a column that I read from Outkick with the headline, Ordinary Americans versus Left-Wing Extremism is the Real Culture War. And they talk about just how obsessed the left became with Trump. And in that path, they took their eye off the ball. They lost the pulse of the nation. They were distorted. They were not like they were detracted from reality with their obsession over Trump. And they missed the mark on what everyday Americans care about. And I think that's fascinating because I remember a time where it was liberals that had all the fun and conservatives had to stick up their butt. Now that is totally flipped. And those articles kind of highlight how, you know, Trump's popular and the Republicans are the ones that are just saying, you know what, live your life and have fun. Quit being bothered by everything under the sun.
I think the Democrats, by the way, made him more popular than he even made himself.
Yeah.
You know, because what they did, and this is one of those, you know, there's that the cliche, if you shoot for the king, you better not miss the whole nine yards. And it's like, but they shot at him with literal bullets, number one, right? But like with all the hoaxes, the Russia and all this Hitler, Nazi, at some point, and I've said this to folks on our side who believe, you know, trust the plan. And I'm like, when has the plan been right? I mean, at this point, if someone were to trust the plan, told me that it was raining outside, I'd have to walk outside, get wet, come back in, walk back outside to check. These folks are wrong more times than I've ever seen. I look at it. I look at it and say, look, your credibility is at stake when you start making these huge claims, right? Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. OK, and when you start labeling Trump a Russian asset or Hitler or a Nazi or a misogynist and all a racist and all these things, and then, you know, it riles people up. So you want to see it. It's hard to turn away from a 10-car pileup, right? When you're driving past it, you can't help it. You know, like, I can't stand rubberneckers, but you're rubbernecking and you're looking. People are watching and saying, if this guy's really Hitler, like, where is it, right? Billy Bean from Moneyball said, if he's such a good hitter, how come he doesn't hit good, right? So stop telling me that this guy is the worst thing in the world. But every time I see him, he's flipping burgers at McDonald's. He's riding in garbage trucks. He's dancing. He's hanging out with people. He's at barber shops. You know, and I get a lot of it is retail politics and snapshots and sound bites and all that. But people are watching him and going, he's not that bad. And that's what that's where the left failed, because once that caught on with the middle, where they're like, oh, he's really not that. They're overreacting. He's not that bad. You lose those people because you lose credibility. If you keep telling me this guy's Hitler, dictator, Nazi, misogynist, racist, intolerant, bigot, nasty guy, and you see every time you see he's having fun, he's smiling, people, you know, disenfranchised Democrats are coming on to him and coming around him, you're like, well, he can't be that bad. So they did that to him. I think if they had just run a regular race, it would have been closer. But the fact that they kept inventing ways to damage him actually, literally, we've said it a lot, made him stronger. So we have them to thank. And Donald Trump has the left to thank. It was the Streisand effect on full display. And they dumped their own credibility in the garbage. They really did. They dumped it in the trash by saying all these terrible things about him. None of them they could verify, and people just got tired of it.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, and last one, Sean Farish with us here, as he is every Friday on Kale & Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. It's fascinating to me. Look, you're always going to have some of those never-Trumpers out there. You're always going to have, like, those four senators that are going to, you know, put up resistance to Trump's pick. But in the name of unity and uniting people, and of course, there's still going to be people that hate Trump. I mean, Kamala Harris, say what you want, 75 million. I mean, there were people trying to put up resistance to Trump winning this election, and he still defied a bunch of odds and did a whole heck of a lot of good. Seven swing states he swept, won the popular vote. But when you look at the party right now, and I said this earlier today, I almost want to slice it into three pies, all of which are pro-Trump. You have your, you know, your rock-solid conservative, you have your America First populist, and then you mentioned it, those disenfranchised Democrats, whether it's Elon Musk or Bobby Kennedy or Tulsi Gabbard or those independents out there that swung in Trump's favor. Do you think he's getting enough credit for the way he's kind of widened and expanded what the Republican Party looks like today?
No, I don't think he's gotten enough credit at all. And that's OK. He doesn't need the credit, so to speak. I mean, I know he probably wants it because it's Trump. Right? I love him. But he's always like, I did this, did that. That's part of the bit. But he did do this, right? You know, it is the cool factor. It is the, I think a lot of people, I think Trump included, thought maybe he would have more of that cool factor in 2016 and 2020. And it didn't happen because all those shocking, quote unquote, shocking stories came out. So people were kind of apprehensive. But once that wore off And people were able to contrast the 4 years under Biden and Harris and the 4 years under Trump, take COVID out of the equation. You know, they go, well, life was better, right? And then you start to go, well, my life was better, so he's not that bad. So you start watching him a little more and you're like, oh, he's actually like, he's actually funny. You know,
yeah.
And that does bring out those lower propensity voters. That does bring out those normies. It does kind of reach across the aisle to the disenfranchised Democrats who are just normal people. They're probably politically independent. They're not going to say they're Republicans, but they voted for Trump. Great. That's fine. But it is absolutely expanding the party. And it is contributing to that realignment, that political realignment that everyone's talking about. And my point with that realignment is, I don't think that's the culmination of 4 years of work. I think this is the beginning of a new trend, right? If we do the right things here as a movement, we don't get too crazy and ahead of ourselves. We make sure that, you know, if there are differing ideas that are coming from within the coalition, you know, let's not excommunicate people, but more or less debate and discuss those ideas and really become a movement that grows, where we are free speech absolutists. The best ideas go to the top and the worst ideas get, you know, get tossed or shuffled down to the bottom. I mean, do this the way the country was designed to run. If we do that over the course of the next 4 years, the movement's only going to grow. The numbers are only going to swell. And then you're putting another guy, potentially, we'll see how he performs, in position, Vance, who can relate to normal people because he grew up in a normal, you know, even in some cases, like not normal. He grew up in a really rough life, but he overcame these odds,
right?
Served in the military, started a business. Now he's the VP. You know, this is a guy that I think can be another relatable, fun person in 2028 and could even swell the numbers even further. So we have a really good opportunity in the next 4 years to take the ball. We got the ball, right? Secure it and run with it, you know, and just keep those legs moving. I think we'll be able to, you know, I think we'll be able to make even more progress in the future, which would be great for the country to get, you know, continuity with this leadership and really not just, you know, implement an agenda, but reinforce it and make this an America first country where we come before the bad hombres or anybody else. Ukraine, it's the American people first. And that's the way it should be.
Sean Farish, great stuff. Woo! As always, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. It should be a stress free weekend because your Jets are on bye.
Well, they'll find a way to lose the bye week. So Phil can tell you all about it, right?
That's right.
They'll find a way to do
That's
it.
That's right.
They'll find a way.
All right, brother. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. We'll see
you. You got it. Sean Farish each and every Friday here on Kale and Company.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision and care, from custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, to the all-important storage solutions. Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. So trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades now, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Just go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. KitchenMagic.com. Tell Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's get to a Dawn Stenzel and Big Three at 9.
It's the Big Three and 9 on Kale and Company.
Number one, there is word this morning. We have new details on the accused killer of police sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald, who, of course, was gunned down on the job. We know his widow and have held charity fundraisers for his family and the community.
Marissa, right?
Yeah, his widow Marissa and children. So the 19-year-old who is awaiting trial and charged with Sergeant Fitzgerald's murder is reportedly recovering this morning after being stabbed multiple times last night at Curran Fromhold Correctional Facility. This is in the city's Holmesburg section. And this is 19-year-old Miles Pfeffer. You remember a Bucks County teenager?
That, was that Buckingham Township?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So he's there awaiting trial, charged with murder among a slew of other charges. But, yeah, reports are not prison life is not going so well for him. He's recovering.
He got roughed up in the joint?
Yeah, what a shame. Oh. What a shame, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So just wanted to give you that little
I feel bad for him.
I don't.
No. Absolutely not.
Yep.
By the way,
can nobody tell my sarcasm?
Oh, yes. No.
Totally, of course.
Totally, yes.
Of course we know that. By the way, we know
that Greg would give this kid the same treatment that his victim had.
Exactly.
Firing squad, right, Stalker?
Well, I mean, it's a little personal because we know the
widow.
Yes. And, you know, we've done charity work for them. So, yes.
Yeah.
Horrible case. You may recall he was murdered, gunned down in the line of duty. And
you know what I think would be a good...
What?
A good way to take somebody out like this. Put them on 95. Clear 95.
Oh, my God.
Take one of those those tractor trailers and have them go like 150. Like, have them start like a mile down the road.
Holy cow.
Have them start like 150 miles an hour and then just have the person just stand there. Have the carcass like deer splatter all over the place.
Let's ship them off to the UK and let them hang out with
Ellen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I know.
Wow. Dark Stalker.
Dark Stalker.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, Dark Stalker.
Yeah.
By the way, they are going to rename the building there on Busselton Ave right near Red Lion Road after Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald. So they are renaming this entire post office building there here in Philadelphia in honor of our murdered and fallen officer.
Oh.
So that's going to be happening, and we'll watch for that when I know they'll have a big ceremony.
And we'll do the, like we did last year, we'll be down in Old City for the...
It's coming up a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, for the block party.
Yeah.
So it's usually at the, it's like mid-December.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have that. By the way, oil prices shooting higher, and that was amid the Ukraine-Russia war escalating, Russia using that intercontinental ballistic missile. And this has been a crazy week of escalating tensions, obviously, between the two neighbors. Talk about neighborly troubles as Russia's invasion obviously drags on. So it's impacting, you know, the U.S., our traded crude international benchmark, still on track to rise this week. So all of the gas prices, if you're noticing, if they're creeping up, this is why.
Here we go again.
That situation escalating. And number three, on a much lighter, I think brighter note, because a beloved Philadelphian launching a brand new late night talk show here in Philadelphia before a live studio audience.
I feel for him.
And this will launch January 4th.
Oh, boy. Who is it?
Jason Kelce.
Oh, because
made
the,
our beloved former, now retired Eagle. I hope his wife Kylie, who I love, I hope she makes a lot of appearances on it. That'd be so much fun.
Count me out. I will not be watching. It's late. It's late night.
Yes.
By the way, I recall in radio, I thought the worst shift you could possibly have was the Friday overnight into Saturday morning shift. I believe that was back in the day considered like the worst possible slot, which is the slot he's going to be on for TV. I think it's like Friday nights at like midnight or 1 a.m. maybe, 11 p.m., something like that. He's working more now than when he was an Eagle.
He's got more jobs.
Yeah, he's on ESPN Monday Night Countdown. He's got the podcast.
One of our superstars.
He's in the building with WIP.
I'm wondering about...
It'll be an hour long.
Okay. And it's going to be like
at 1 a.m.
It's going to be like a late night like comedy show?
Yes. It'll be taped at Union Transfer in Philadelphia with a live audience.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
That's fun.
We'll play it on the cut sheet. I'm sure something will happen and we'll weave it in.
So he's made that big announcement. That's kind of cool. He said he grew up watching Conan O'Brien. And so he'll have he'll be interviewing former NFL legends, coaches, celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And Philadelphia-based band Snack Time is going to provide. He'll have live music.
Yeah, and I love
That's
him.
Kind of cool.
Look, I love him as a person. I love him as a. I'm just the whole. And it's not all his fault, by the way. It's Travis. It's Taylor. I'm just being bludgeoned with Kelce love and adoration.
There's a lot of Kelce love.
It's like the Kardashians. It's enough.
Not like the Kardashians.
Of course, if he came in here and sat down, I would kiss his ass.
You would.
And,
you
know. Of course you would.
And by the way, isn't she a billionaire, Kim Kardashian? If Kim Kardashian walked in here in her tight little outfits that she wears and her 6-inch stilettos and sat down in your studio, Nick Kale, you would be like, woo.
I'm with Kale. I think.
Now listen.
I think we're over. I think the Kelces are overexposed.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it is. I'm not hating on them. You know, I
got
it.
Got their new Christmas album.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, nice. There, thank you. Another thing. He's singing. He's dancing.
I can't get enough of him.
He's breaking people's phones.
Well, they put the phone in his face. Don't put an object in somebody's face. It's not, all right?
Dawn, they do this to me every day in the parking garage.
Are you telling me that, Dawn? Oh, God, it's Friday.
I know.
The Friday 9 o'clock hour is just is off.
I want Jason to reveal his politics. That's what I care. I want to know if him and his brother are Republican or Democrat.
His brother is not.
Could
his
be an
brother
act.
Is it could,
never
it's
know.
Not.
Could
it's
be
not.
An act.
Look, his Maybe brother, he... look at his brother's college videos. He was walking around campus doing videos with squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's really a deep thinker about politics. No, I mean, they're like adorable videos. It's like, look at the little squirrel. You know?
I don't think either of them are deep thinkers.
But
here's my theory.
Yeah.
Once that relationship with Tay-Tay ends, which I think the expiration date is probably coming soon, right? Because every relationship she has comes to a screeching halt because she always picks the wrong guy. So he ditches or she ditches him. And then he now knows the NFL is totally fine with people doing the Trump dance. Once he ditches Taylor Swift, he's going to score a touchdown in a big game. He's going to do the Trump boogie in the end zone.
Now here we go.
And then we're gonna see.
No,
he was just taking the check from Bud Light and Pharma.
You've watched too much wrestling from the 90s. He's not doing a heel turn.
Plot twist.
No.
By the way, Dana White was interviewed. I don't know if you have, but he's saying like, wow, this is, and here's a guy, look at his business. Dana White is like, I'll never be involved in a campaign. This is the dirtiest, most vicious type of industry and people. Scumbags. And Dana White's like, I never want to deal with this.
Exactly.
You, Matt, like,
Dana
what does that
White
tell you?
Dana White confirming what Stalker has known for years.
Yeah. Again, by the way, you know who doesn't have skeletons in his closet? Dana White.
Well.
He doesn't.
You don't think so?
No. Nope.
Yeah.
No, he's a good family man. I can vouch for that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know him personally, but...
Gotcha.
Well, you never hear anything. And I think it would have come out because he was campaigning for Trump.
Yeah, of course.
Is he a dragon believer, by the way?
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the Rogan stuff.
Rogan changed his Twitter profile to Dragon Believer.
The Troll Dragon Believer. The Year of the Dragon.
Yeah. What else? We got anything else?
That's it. Big three.
All right. There we go. We'll come back, get a clip or two in with the cut sheet, and then we'll hand it off to Phil Almquist for what occurred today in music history and what's on tap for the Dawn Show on a Friday morning as Dawn wraps up hour 29 and hour 30 of the week.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Rachel Maddow makes $25 million a year, and Dawn does 30 hours a week.
I would take what she pays in taxes a year. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Me too. Back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Bill Clinton said that he believes that the next female president will be a conservative one.
Okay.
How do you guys think about this? What do you think about this? Let's play Bill Clinton. I believe this is from he's doing the rounds for something. I don't know why, but
book tour probably.
I think this is from CBS Mornings. The GoFo.
Do you think part of the issue is that America is just not ready for a female president?
Maybe. I think in some ways we've moved to the right as a reaction to all the turmoil. You know, I think if Hillary had been nominated in 2008, she would have walked in just like Obama did.
Has the country changed?
Well, I think all these cultural battles we're fighting make it harder in some ways for a woman to win.
So you think it has more to do with party than gender?
No. Although I think it would probably be easier for a conservative Republican woman to win
than a Democrat woman.
Because that's what Maggie Thatcher did. But I still think we'll have a woman, female president pretty soon.
You do?
I do.
How soon? Within your lifetime?
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to live. You're asking an old man that question. I hope I'm around for the next time, but now it's President Trump's turn in the barrel. It depends on what he does and how it plays.
We lost because of the woke stuff is basically what he is saying. I'm not sure that I agree with that. It would depend on who the Republican female is. I mean, let's put it this way. If Trump was not the nominee, and let's just say in 2024 the race was between Nikki Haley and Kamala Harris, do we think Nikki Haley would have won?
No.
No.
Okay. So that kind of proves my point that I don't think if the female is Nikki Haley, I think the answer is no, Bill Clinton. It would not be. Now, if there's another female in the Republican Party that comes along that is more of the Trump type brand, America First populist, then yes.
He's right that it's all about timing. He's 100% right that it's all about timing.
That's true.
If he's right. If Hillary would have, well, I don't know about Hillary, but if a female would have run in 2008, they would have won because that's just where the mood of the country was at the time.
I think he's
100% right about
that. I think a female Democrat can win as long as she's not super left, right? Like Kamala Harris, you know, the Helen Gims of the world. You know, if some moderate Democrat female came along, like, yeah, I don't even know who it would be, but let's just say if it was... I'm trying to even think of right now who would even qualify in that category because that whole party's just been corrupted by the left-wing ridiculous ideology. But you get my point. Yeah. Like I'm saying, I really think, you know, 4 years from now, even with a good economy and even if J.D. Vance gains in popularity, I think a J.D. Vance versus Josh Shapiro race would be super tight.
Don, do you think we're going to see a, I'm including myself in this too, do you think we're going to see a female president in our lifetime?
Yep, I do.
Okay. Yep, I
do. But, you know, nobody wants a DEI kind of a hire.
Yep.
And I would say women, more than anybody, don't want a DEI situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, but look at all of the capable women upcoming.
I mean, there's a ton of women
talked about who are Republicans,
women, governors, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like we don't elect women. We do.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I still believe we will see a female president before we see a third party win.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, the interesting one, of course, that comes to mind, who has military experience, is Tulsi Gabbard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's very, you know, now they're saying she's the crazy, you know, oh, she's a Russian asset or something like that gets crazy.
She's in bed with
going
Syria.
Against her. But she's an interesting one. But obviously, you know, I love Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Mm. We have Elise Stefanik. I mean, there are so many Republican names that we could put out there who are very capable, very impressive women.
I don't think I'm going to see a woman president in my lifetime.
Really?
You don't?
I don't know.
Why, are you going to die at 61 like me? We'll both go out together in a blaze of glory?
Yeah, no, I don't.
I think you're wrong.
I could be.
All right.
But I don't think we're going to see one in
all right.
my lifetime.
We got Phil on standby. You want to do a voicemail or we want to go right to Phil?
No, let's go right to Phil.
All right, Phil Almquist, Friday morning, 9:50, right on the dot. What occurred today in music history?
What happened on this day in music history?
November 22nd, we celebrate the birthdays of Tina Weymouth from Talking Heads, who's 74, and Daryl Gray from Helix, who's 66. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Rod Price from Foghat and Floyd Sneed from Three Dog Night. We also lost Michael Hutchins from INXS on this day in 1997. Sings include Stranger in a Strange Land by Iron Maiden in 1986. Nothing Else Matters 99 Live by Metallica in 99. Open All Night by Greg's favorite Bruce Springsteen in 82. And Love Dies Young by the Foo Fighters 3 years ago. Albums include the White Album by the Beatles in 68. Vitalogy by Pearl Jam in 94. Hypnotized by System of a Down in 2005. Under Lock and Key by Dokken in 85. And Fragile by Yes in 71. Also in 86, Stevie Ray Vaughan kicked off a tour in Maryland. In 75, Casey the Sunshine Band was topped the singles chart. In 2006, Mick Fleetwood finally becomes a naturalized citizen after living in California for years. In 57, Simon and Garfunkel make their first appearance on American Bandstand. And in 89, Back to the Future 2 opened with Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers playing Douglas J. Needles, which of course was why we played that clip earlier. But lastly, on this date in 1907, I'm going way back today, the world's first radio company, the Marconi Wireless Company of America, is incorporated in New Jersey. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Hopquist.
And I believe this show's going to win a Marconi one day.
Yeah, baby.
If it doesn't, there should be a federal investigation.
I agree with that.
And hopefully Pam Bondi leads that one. All right, let's get to our McCausland Lock of the Week. It's time to make our Eagles and Rams Sunday Night Football prediction. Brought to you by McCausland Lock and Alarm. Secure and control access with all the facilities featuring top-of-the-line equipment, industry-leading customer service, and owner Tom McCausland's wealth of experience. McCausland Lock and Alarm, securing your business, securing your future. All right, Eagles, a three-point favorite on the road. The over-under 49 is the total. If you recall, the last time the Eagles played in that venue, it was like an Eagles home game. L.A. football fans don't exist. They're called USC fans. All right? I don't know why the hell Los Angeles has two pro football teams. I don't even know that they deserve one. I'll take the Eagles. They're hot. They're on a roll. I think 6-0 since Nick Sirianni kind of buzzed the head. Give me the Eagles 31, the Rams 27. I'll lay the 3 points, and I like the over as well. A lot of points in this game.
Dawn?
This is week 12, Eagles 28, Rams 21.
Oh, Dawn, I'm not lying. Look what I have written down. 28-21.
Oh my gosh. Right.
That was my that's my pick too. I am going the Eagles 28, the Rams 21. I guess if we both win, Dawn.
Nice. It's a tie.
Yeah.
Phil Omquist.
Philip?
27-21. I'm going with the under. So
what?
Yes. Ooh, look at you.
Wow.
27-21 Eagles?
Of course.
Okay.
They're playing hot. You know. The Rams, yeah.
Anybody think the Rams can pull this out?
Yeah, they've got a shot. I think it's going to be close. Yeah.
I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, the receivers are healthy. They're going to score some points, but
cool.
Eagles will be too much.
Thank you, McCausland.
All right, there you go. McCausland Lock and Alarm, our McCausland Lock of the Week. The only certainty in life is that Dawn Stensland comes up at 10 o'clock, folks, and we'll find out what she has lined up 6 minutes from now.
So coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, make sure you tune in right at 11, because we do have, indeed, we have Michael Whatley, the chairman, RNC. Wow. Chair, and so we'll talk to him about all things Trump, transition, all of that. He's been in Mar-a-Lago and obviously very busy, so we'll update you on everything with that. There's a ton that's developing. So Michael Whatley, we've got a security expert. We'll be talking about cyber security, some new security warnings. We've got that going on. A ton of breaking news in Pennsylvania having to do with election stuff, so we want to wrap all of that up. And then the Trump transition picks and who's next, what's next. There's so much that we're going to talk about.
Who's next? Yes.
That's a great album.
Who are you going to call?
The Ghostbusters. That's who you're going to call.
So Dawn went Ghostbusters. Nick and I went Goldberg. Phil went The Who. That sums
Phil's
it all
way
up
cooler.
There. Yeah. That sums it all up.
Yeah, pretty much. Explains all of our lives. All right, that'll do it for us. Everybody, have a great rest of your Friday. Enjoy your weekend, and Dawn will lead you right into lunchtime.
Yeah, baby.
And we will talk to you on Monday morning.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.